Hallelujah. I come to you tonight in the name of the Lord. I'll say that again in case you're not familiar with that term. I come to you tonight in the name of the Lord. I see that impresses you. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I want to try to bring you a word tonight that I think God's been laying on my heart about what I'm saying to you. In the last, and this is, I haven't been here for several weeks. The last week I didn't have a voice to speak to you with. Tonight I do. In that time, I believe, how many of you know that many times you go in another name than the Lord? You have a name, you introduce yourself in that name as if somebody really cares about that name or that name, and the Lord's been speaking to me about this, the name being of influence. How many of you think your name has influence? No? Yes? I'm dead? I'm alive? I have no opinion? But whether you do or not, you do. Or you think you do or not, you do. You have a company name. You have a personal name. You have an identity that you walk in. You have a bank account. You have something that every one of us, we take value in. Come on. It may be a piece of jewelry. It may be your house. It may be that car that you have. It may be, who knows what it is. You feel stronger, better when you drive up in it or when you speak it or when you wear it. How many of you know that God's a jealous God? He uses people that come in His name and divorce, delete, remove all other entities, all other descriptions, all other personalities. Am I making sense to you yet? I want to read a scripture to you. If we can get that up, it's Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. Let's read that. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under the wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Can we change that version? Is there a way to change that? Or do you know how? Other than Amplified? Let me be the Amplified version tonight. I want to explain some things to you about that scripture, and I don't want you being distracted. King James, New King James. Let me read that to you again, Matthew chapter 23. If we don't get it, nope. How many of you brought your Bibles? Okay, those that didn't raise their hand, send them that email that you got. All right. King James, good enough. The last verse. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth till you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. So if I tell you I come in the name of the Lord, what is your response? Come on, you can squeeze it out. The scripture, let me back up. I'm hitting the wall here. Y'all are not with me yet. And so we're going to go over this scripture again. O Jerusalem, now do you know who he's talking to? Who, those people over there? He's talking to those, the root word of this has been shalom. He's talking to those that have been called to walk in peace. He's talking to those that are called to walk in safety. Those chosen of his, that's you, right? Anytime you relate with something in Scripture, say, that's me. Are you called to walk in safety and peace and blessing? Okay, that's me. You have chosen to be, here's my Amplified version, you have chosen to be the ones who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to you. How do you do that? How often I wanted to gather you and yours, your children, together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But who's not willing? Huh? They weren't. That means you are. We're talking about Jerusalem. That's not they, that's us. Right? So who's not willing? Well, this is God speaking to us. You are not willing. Everybody here know the will of God? We'll talk about that in a minute. So if you know the will of God, then the only person that can't receive the will of God is those that are not willing. God wants to gather us and perform His word in us, which is walking safety, peace, prosperity, health, blessings. But we're the ones that are not receiving that blessing. How can this be? That's my question. How can this be? I thought I was willing. He said, look, your house is left to you desolate, which is the result of doing it my way, not God's way, right? Desolation comes from anything outside of God's will. Then he says this, for I say to you, you shall see me no more. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read that, it kind of sent chills up and down my spine. Because I desperately want to see, hear, know, feel, understand my Lord and Savior. I don't want to be outside looking in. I want to be inside. Yeah. For I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say. Who's you? Yeah, that's not you. It's you, right? Till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So who is that? Well, that's everybody that says they come in the name of the Lord. No, that's the ones that come in the name of the Lord. We're going to study a little further. I want to get your mind softened a little bit to what I want to penetrate. So let's study a little bit. Out of this that we just read, we can pull some things. I want to give you four or five things that you can pull from this scripture. Number one, God sends. Can we ever get in our mind that you didn't come here tonight to be entertained? You don't come on Sunday to get entertained. You don't come to see what you can get. You come because that's where the message from God is at. God sends. Who does He send? Well, for those of you that don't believe in prophets and apostles, pastors, teachers, evangelists, put your seatbelt on because the scripture here wants to hit you a little bit. He sends prophets. If you have a problem with that, you have the problem. The scripture doesn't have the problem. God sends prophets and sent ones. Let me read to you Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, 11 through 15. And I can back this up with other scriptures, but let's just stick to one tonight for time. And he himself gave some to be apostles. They're still alive and well. Some to be prophets. They're still alive and well. Some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. Why? The reason we come to church. The reason we fellowship with them. For the equipping of the saints. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And by the way, the only way this is going to happen is through those that come in the name of the Lord. It's not going to just, you're not going to get it by satellite, you're not going to get it by, I'm not saying you can't receive it by satellite, but normally speaking, the way it works is God sends. How long? Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Faith in and the experience of the Son of God. To a perfect man. For those of you that think there is no perfection in this earth, God says, I'm going to send them until you get perfect. If you'll call them blessed. If you'll call yourself by being in the presence of those. You call yourself blessed by being in those in the presence of blessed. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. How many of you could ever imagine that we could be in a position of being the fullness of Christ? Well, it just can't be. Well, call the scripture a liar. I'll call you a loser. That is a serious thing, and let's take it serious. Verse 14. Why? Here we are, Jerusalem. That we should no longer be children. tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, every television ministry, everything that comes down the pike, everything that I hear on the radio. Anybody in the church that's upset, I just join in the upset and split the body. That's children. That's childish. You're not moving towards maturity. Your song is a mature song. Right? I'm here to stay. I don't care how big the giant looks. I don't care how true the gossip sounds. It makes no difference to me. I'm not going to be tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men. What is this? It's a promise there are tricky men out there. In the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. There are tricky men out there. There's tricky ways that are plotting. What are they plotting for? To keep you a child tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. You know what keeps us tossed to and fro? We never make decisions. I coach you to say, that's for me. Why? So that you settle something. That's for me. But we're going to come to the place where we speak the truth in love. We grow up in all things in Him who is head, Christ. When I come to you in the name of the Lord, I'm saying to you, I come to you in the name of the head of this church. Anybody that comes needs to say that boldly and mean it. And you are to say, blessed, blessed, what? You and me. Because when the head shows up with the word, we're blessed. You're blessed, I'm blessed, and we're growing. We're maturing. We're evolving the direction of the head, the fullness of that. Number two, we can pull from that first scripture. Our future depends on how we receive or reject who God sends. Isn't that what that scripture says? Until you begin to recognize I send people and call them blessed, your households are desolate. This house, the house that I live in, this house that I attend. How many of you know that you are the richness and the fullness of this house? You don't wait to be filled, you come filled. So that those that are saying I need to be filled can be filled. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. Says your house won't be blessed until you say. Isn't that what it says? I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I've set before you. We need to picture this. This needs to be graphically real to us. I set before you life and death. He didn't say I give it to the devil. He didn't say I give it to the pastor. He didn't say I give it to the church. He said I set before you today blessings, life and death, blessings and curses. Life and death, blessing and cursing, and then gives an endorsement, a recommendation. I'd rather call it a recommendation rather than a threat. Here's what God recommends. Choose life. If you got a brain cell in your head, choose life. What's life? Well, we're studying it through that other scripture. We're finding out how to bring life into desolate households. How we're trying to bring ourselves to maturity. Right? There's more than just one choice. There's many choices in a Christian's life. They're little, 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 and it grows big. All these choices. Choose life that both you and your descendants may live. Now you have a promise for you, but as God always does, He wants you to bring others into this thing. You and your descendants may live, may prosper, may grow. Also, that you may love the Lord your God. How are you going to love the Lord your God? By choosing life. You can't choose death and love God. You can't choose curses and love God. You know the proof of somebody that doesn't love God? They make all the wrong decisions. Is that harsh? When you choose God, you're already making the right decisions. And He's going to help you with the rest of them. That you may obey His voice and that you may cling to Him. This is also your descendants. For he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. He's still trying to give it to us. But according to the first scripture that we read, as soon as you make up your mind to receive it, you've got it. Do my will, you're going to get it. All right, let's go to the third thing. We must know that God wants good for us. Do you know what the craziest thing on the face of the earth to the church is? They're not too sure that everything that God wants to do is good. Because they think somewhere they've been convinced that sometimes he's bad to you. They've been told, oh, it's a test. We're going to be put through this just to test. Well, if that's the case and you pass, it's still good. There's never a time in your life that God's dealing with you that it's not good. I don't care what it feels like. I don't care what it feels like. I don't care what it looks like. All right, turn to Jeremiah 29:11. 29:11. This is God speaking to you. Do you understand that Scripture is for you? It's not for the preacher to use on you. Here's what it says. This is God speaking to us tonight. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace. Jerusalem? Isn't that what we're talking about? Jerusalem, peace? I know they're peace and not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. All right. I hope he's not bad to me is not a hope. Come on. I hope nothing bad happens to me is not a hope. It's not even a good future. Please understand that God does not sit around across the table from the devil thinking about how they can play with you. There's some real nonsense teaching and understanding out there. God sets with a plan for good for you. And unless you know that, you can never trust him. You can ask him and you won't believe that you're going to receive because you're not too sure he's for you. I come to you in the name of the Lord. Look at there. I come to you in the name of the Lord telling you that his thoughts for you are good. You can be excited that he sits around, if you want to call him sitting at the throne, he sits around thinking about ways to do you good. And all you have to do, according to Matthew, is that just get in his will. Well, what's part of his will? You understand he's a good God trying to do a good thing for you, your household, and your descendants. You need to get mad if somebody tells you anything else. Get mad for the word's sake, if nothing else. That's the truth. You get mad because somebody's coming against the only truth that you can rely on. Be angry, sin not. Be angry. Did you hear the first part of that command? Be angry. Don't sin, just be angry. Somebody wants to tell you about how goofy God is, tell them. Tell them I don't know how to spell it or I'd write it to you. Tell them you need to meet my God because I'm not about to visit yours. Did you know there's some people out there serving wrong gods? Fourth thing. We must know that it's up to us. Oh, Stan, that goes against everything. Go back and read it to you again. I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. I want to bless you, but you're not willing. I want to bless you, but you're not willing. Can we get that down? It needs to ring in our ears. I want to bless you, but you're not willing. I agree that you're willing. Now we just need to do it. How is that? I'm not going to be moved. I'm not going to be moved. When I understand that there's a blessing out there from the Word of God for me, I'm not going to let the devil or anybody else talk me out of that. Because if I'm willing, then my will is set in his will. Boy, we're set. No hell, no high water. Nothing can change that. How do I know when you're willing? nothing can move you. Your mind is set. You're a hard-headed Christian. Yeah. Now we're where we're supposed to be. Mark chapter 11. I'm going to say this enough till y'all can quote it when I call the number. Mark chapter 11, 22 and 23. Let me remind you, don't move that, just stay right there. For I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say. Mark 11. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. How do you have faith in God? Do what he says. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. So when a man of God comes in here, calling himself that or not, you recognize him to be here in the name of the Lord, you say blessed, so you get blessed. Isn't that what that scripture said? The blessings will fall on you and your house when you call that man blessed. Well, that means I call him blessed and I get blessed. Now, do we believe that? Then we're going to obey it, right? Remind me if I forget, because I forget too. A fifth thing we get out of it. Anyone that exalts self, name, ministry, anything other than they come in the name of the Lord is an antichrist. Oh my goodness, Dan, you're getting rough. When I want to be for Christ, and I don't want to be against him, and I want to be for his word, I don't want to be against him. Matthew 23:39 says, for I say to you, you shall not see me no more. You shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You are not blessed until you recognize a word from God. Is that what that says? You are not blessed. You will not be blessed until you recognize. Well, what are you saying that? I'm telling you, you can't grab a word until you know it's for you. If a word comes from here and it's for somebody else, I'm not going to get blessed. That's why I've told you before, I used to go to the worst church in the world. It was a place God told me to go, and I'd sit and I'd say, God, I'm looking for something. This guy's a great singer. He's a great personality. Man, he can move a crowd like you wouldn't believe. But I can't get nothing out of him. So I'm going to. And I'd sit right there on that, and I'd just wait for a chance to say amen. And I wasn't going to say it unless I believed it. I'm not here to pat the preacher on the back by saying amen. I'm here to confirm a word by saying amen. And when that word is true, I need to, out of the abundance of my heart, I say, amen. Yeah, that's for me. Why? Because I'm going to get blessed. So are my descendants. I recognize that's a man from God with a word from God. Even if he only had one. If all the rest of his message was nonsense. If he just had one. Then I caught it. I caught it. You know, I went to a big meeting one time to hear this super prophet, and guy nearly as old as me got up there, and he was nice dressed, and he was quiet, and he wasn't impressive at all. And he began to speak, and after about 15 minutes, I said, oh my God, I'm dead. This is the most terrible thing I've ever heard in my life. There's no rhyme, there's no riddle, there's no preparation, there's no end, there's no beginning, there's no points. And God said, wait. And I did. And this was the craziest thing. You know what he was doing? He was performing the way he thought he should. And all of a sudden he said, that's enough of that. Now let's get down to what I really came here for. Wow. Why'd you waste all my time? Never mind. Go ahead, God. And he looked back there and he said, you back there in the back, stand up. He said, you have some pills in your pocket. They are called so-and-so and so-and-so. Doctor gave them to you the other day. I'm telling you, I don't know what they are, but they're not going to heal you. God only will heal you. And he began to minister like that, and the man of God showed up, and the speaker left. Thank goodness. Thank goodness. He finally showed up in the name of the Lord instead of the name of the personality they wanted. Do you understand that you sometimes put demands on the speaker that they try to fulfill? You need to stop that. You need to say, blessed. blessed. And if he don't look so blessed, say blessed until he is. Draw it out of him. Let's go a little further. I'm not going to talk negative to you tonight. I'm going to give you some facts. Facts are never negative. They're always the truth. They may sound it. Don't pay any attention to the sound. Always look for the truth. Here's what the name of the Lord is not. I heard a guy say one time that he was an expert in counterfeit money. And somebody asked him, how did you get to be an expert in counterfeit money? He said, I spent a long time looking at the real thing. Now I can tell you when it's wrong. Good thing for Christians to do. Here's what the name of the Lord is not. Did you know the name of the Lord is not a big name? I'll tell you, if you go back and look at the description of what Jesus looked like, sound like, talked like, dressed like, it's going against nearly every minister that stands right now, including this one. He wasn't good looking. He wasn't a good speaker. This is all scripture. He was homely. He was a troublemaker. He'd walk into a place and just, you snakes and vipers. Yeah, that's not what I was looking for. Come on, I'm telling you, this is who Jesus was. Didn't dress right, didn't shave right, didn't look right, didn't sound right, but he was right. And for those that would look at him and say, blessed, they got healed, they got changed, they got delivered. It's still up to us. A big reputation. You know who I am. You know what I've done. Now, if that's what you're coming in the name of, I don't want to know. That should be our response. Spotlights come out. Big sounds come out. Oh, come on. Just give me some word. You know what's not in the name of the Lord? A great show. Man, I have been to some shows. My goodness, I've been to shows. Goosebumps got so big I couldn't hardly stay seated. And then when I left, I wondered what happened. I got blessed. No, you didn't. You got excited. Blessed is when your life changes. Excited is when, for the moment, your life changes. And then it goes away. I could tell you about a history that doesn't come in the name of the Lord. Did you know Jesus never talked about his history? You know what about that fig tree I did? Man, you know, let me tell you about some things that I did. No, he didn't do that. He was here to glorify God. He might tell you what God did, but he didn't spend much time on that. He'd rather tell you about what he's going to do. How guys dressed. Don't get crazy on me. Before we decided that this is where God wanted us to be, we visited a church down in Corpus. And it was a... But this guy, supposedly the youth pastor, came up on stage. He's about 6'4". He was about skinny as a rail. He had sandals on. He had a beard. He was dressed terrible. He couldn't speak good English. I don't mean accent. I mean he just never learned the English language. And he's up there trying to minister. He didn't say, I come to you in the name of the Lord because I would have listened. He just said, hey, we got some things going on. You need to attend. You need to come. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm going, ooh, that's not for me. First place, you turn me off. If you want to turn me on, tell me about God. Tell me that you come in the name of the Lord. Tell me about your youth group and how excited they are about Jesus. Then my ears are open. But if you just, that's you, that's what you want me to come to? Nah. Take a bath. Shave. Put some shoes on. Y'all don't ever get those crazy thoughts? Money is not in the name of the Lord. It makes no difference. How many of you know that Jesus had a lot of money? Seriously? Seriously, he had a lot of money. You know how I know that? Do what? Judas tried to get it? He kept it. Jesus wasn't worried about him keeping it because he knew he had plenty and would always have plenty. He didn't even count it every day to see if Judas was a crook. He knew he was. So God, you want all the money, you can take care of it. That's what he said. But you know how he started off wealthy? My goodness, you sing about it. What did the wise, wealthy men bring him when he was born? Gold, frankincense, myrrh. Well, they didn't. His parents didn't give it away and live on it. They kept it for him as a gift to him. He didn't have to be a carpenter. I bet you didn't know how to drive a nail. He didn't have to know that. He was called. He came in the name of God Himself. And God provided. How do you know? Well, I'll tell you how you know. Did you know one time he'd been ministering so much he forgot about lunch and dinner and all that stuff. And one of his people came to him and said, "Oh, man, how about if I run down to Pizza Hut and buy pizzas for these 25,000 people? When's the last time you offered to buy lunch for 25,000 people?" He was going to take it out of his treasury and pay for it. But you know what he didn't do? He didn't say, "God will fill your bank full if you'll just give your heart to Him." He never said that. He never said it. Not right then. Later on, he described how to be blessed. But first, you sign up. You do it by faith. You're not hearing me. You go to Him by faith, not after something. You know, you can't get God by telling Him how important you are. You know how you get God? You tell Him how worthless you are. And He says, "Oh, I got some news for you." And He takes you and He says, then He starts explaining how valuable you are. He always takes the willing and makes them able. He never takes the able and makes them willing. Put that in your little 11th commandment. You know what's not in the name of the Lord? What's in it for me? See, the reason Jesus didn't spend time counting His money because He knew He wasn't there for money. The money was there for Him. To do what? The will of the Lord. God didn't give Him all that money so He could build a fancy house and have fancy cars. He gave it to Him so He could minister to people. Now, when you come to the Lord knowing you're worthless and your only worth is in Him, and you find out you are very much worth something by relating to Him and with Him, then He can tell you what to do with what He's going to give you. Did I say that too fast, or was that okay? Who He uses the most, who He blesses the most, are the people that really know they're worthless. Without Him. Without Him. Do I act worthless to you? I am not worthless because God told me so. There was a time I felt pretty worthless. I don't care what the name was. I don't care what the bank account was. I don't care what about anything. But then you get to know Him. I'm telling you, He's worth so much that if nothing else, it'll just rub off on you. I'm not real good at loving people, but you hang around Him, you'll love them. I can't work it up in me. You can't say love me and make it happen. You know, sometimes I walk up to people and fall in love with them. They're the weirdest people in the world. God don't let me fall into love with normal people like you. He picks these weird people that my heart goes, "Oh." Strange. Who needs the most help? Weird people or... Anyway. How do I judge a man that comes in the name of the Lord? Well, I just like him. No. There was an awful lot of people didn't like Jesus. He really didn't care. He was doing the will of the Father. If everybody likes the man, he probably didn't come in the name of the Lord. I'd say that, but just, you know why? Because he's going to say some things that convict you. A man of God, a man that comes in the name of the Lord is going to do some things, say some things that ruffle some feathers. That's what he's there for. If you didn't need him, if you were perfect, nobody would come to ruffle your feathers. Was I moved? Now let me give you some technicalities here, okay? How many people are here tonight? At least 10. If 9 of you got nothing and 1 of you got changed, was the 9 of you worth? Was it all right for you to sit there while the 1 was changed? That's how you judge a church service. You look around and you see some people touched. You see some people changed. You know God's moving. And you kind of look and say, "Whew, I didn't get in the crosshairs today." Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's get real. When God comes in, He comes to change. And change never feels the best. There's a little creaking and a little squeaking and a little bone cracking, and that's okay. That's what God wants. He wants you to grow, not stay the same. had a connection with this guy. Well, how did the connection last? How did it do? By the way, I didn't like that guy. I didn't like the way he... Well, tough. You wouldn't have liked Jesus either, I promise you. You wouldn't. Not if that's your criteria. Well, he insulted me. Wait a minute. Did he insult you or did he touch you? Oh, that hurt. Good. Good. Thank you, Jesus. See, you called him blessed. If you called him blessed, then expect to get changed. And while that hurts or feels different or you're required to do something, say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. God's working. There's nothing better that can happen to you than God begin to change you. Even if you have to throw some change, some things, throw away, just understand that it's for your good. Man of God's blessed, you're blessed. You're a man of God. You're both blessed. We've agreed in the blessing. He's just not my type of minister. What is your type of minister? Maybe it's a guy that will always kiss your behind. Is that what you're looking for? That's called itching ears. Yeah, I just sighted a little lower. Come on. You know what we ought to do seriously? What we ought to do is come to church with bullseye t-shirts. Hit me right here. God, hit me right here. I'm not afraid. I want to be changed. And if the guy don't hit me, then pray that somebody will come that will. Here's some questions to ask about somebody that ministers. Number one, did he come in the name of our Lord? There are other lords out there. They proclaim, we know the only one. Did he come in the name of our Lord? Do you know how cunning and crafty in Ephesians 4 that we were talking about, how cunning and crafty, there's deceitful, there are things out there? There are people, they're called wolves in sheep clothing. I remember one time in a church that I attended, this guy got in. I mean, he got into the eldership. Nobody knew. But the whole, he was, UPC was Jesus only. There was no Trinity. Jesus only. Wait a minute. Can I live with that? No, I can't. No, I can't. Well, what's it going to hurt? I haven't figured it out yet, and I don't care. The Bible says Trinity. So you're not going to convince me of anything else, and I'm not going to go with you to experiment and to question and ask. Because it's a blatant affront to my God's Word. Was he a bad guy? Nah, he was as nice as all get out until he beat up his wife. And all of a sudden, what was happening is he declared that that spirit that's working in you and I wasn't working in him because it doesn't exist. You understand? Slight things. Slight things. I was going through the XM today, and I heard this guy on the Catholic channel talking about our Holy Father. Whoa, 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 whoa. His name is not Pope. My word says, call no man Father. But it's such a little thing. How many little things are you going to let get by before you start standing up? Until you're totally swamped, your house is totally desolate? It's the little foxes. It's the little things. How do I know the man comes in the name of the Lord, the woman comes in the name of the Lord, the minister does? I'll tell you a good sign. Did I get uncomfortable? Come on, listen to me. You need to answer this question. Did I get uncomfortable? Because if I did, that man's ministering the Word of God. It got quiet in here. Even your spirit got quiet. Did you realize that? I didn't mean to quench. I meant to tell you the truth. We need to sit right there, put our seat belts on so that we don't get flighty like children and run and say, okay, hit me! I can take it. How do you know you can? Because I said I could. And I can have what I say. Did he cause me to think? Can I step on a couple of toes right quick? You know what the worst thing in the world is? Somebody that comes to learn and never brings a notepad. What's on the back of your bulletins? A blank sheet. When I leave this place, mine are not blank. Why? Because there's some thoughts being transferred. If a man of God brings a word from the Lord, you need to have some thought transference and you need to write it down. You will forget it if you don't write it down. You need to go back and look at it. We do have CDs. They work well for remembrance. But what works best, as any college professor will tell you, is to take a note. Did he cause me to think? Did he cause me to consider a required change in my life? At least consider it. I'm going to tell you, you haven't been to church until God has suggested to you a change. You go to a lot of churches, the change is, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. Well, that's what Matthew said. I want to do that. But you're not willing. What? If I could show you something, there's a blessing over here, and we spend all of our time over here. And all he's saying is, I want you to move. And he's so good at this, he can say, move to the left, move to the right, move 10 feet. It's the changes that we need to feel. He's moving us towards this, get a little Pentecostal spout where the blessings are coming out. Okay? That's what he's up to with word, with ministers, moving us over there where we can just be. We start getting changed and we don't even realize it. We're just so happy all the time. The change is coming. We're not even uncomfortable anymore. Glory to God. I got that one. I got it. Woohoo. It feels good. The truth that's trying to change you. Is this a truth that others need? Come on, some questions we ask. Some guidelines about whether this is a minister of God coming in the name of the Lord or not. The thing that's trying to touch me. See, this is a check. Sometimes I can be swayed, but is it something I need to share with somebody else? And if I start saying that, I'm going to go out on the street, I'm going to go out tomorrow, and I'm going to try to share this word, how does it look then? Come on. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying, but you need to consider that. Sometimes we can be... I've sat in services where I'm convinced of something. I was convinced of something. And then when I left there and I started trying to put legs on it and make it walk and work, it didn't fit. So you just take that out and say, if that won't work, it won't work. I'm not talking about faith statements. What that Bible says will work. Don't you question the Bible. You question it. Number one, your understanding, or number two, can you relate it? If it needs to change you, let it change you. Hold it until you are prepared to share it. But never throw it out. A word. Prophet, come here, share a word for you. In 3 years, whatever, you're going to blah, 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 blah. Okay? And you're going, not a chance. Don't say not a chance. Say, okay, God. Okay. Don't make it work. Don't change your life and make it work. That's a foolish thing. If it's God's word, He'll make it work. You put that word up on the shelf. You leave it right there. If it's a writing, if it's something you need to put it there. And look for it to happen, but don't try to make it happen. Because you will put a time on it. You will put a way it's going to happen and when it's going to happen and why it's going to happen and what's going to happen after it happens. And all you got was a little missile that hadn't taken off yet. Put it over there and wait for it to fire. Otherwise, you'll just make a fizzy. Is the word you got from that man of God? Don't yawn on me. This is the last one. No. Is the word that you got from that man of God, is it lasting or is it fleeting? Because men have the ability to work other men up and get them excited. You need to determine if this is a forever word or it was just a rah rah and I didn't wear a short skirt? Was the man a cheerleader, or was he a directionalist? He pointed and he showed you how, and he proved it in the Word. I need a steak, I can go a long time. I can eat a piece of pie, and I go like this. What are you after? You after a sugar high? Or are you after some long-term energy? Is the word you heard fleeting? Or is it a forever word? This will change me forever. You know how, when I started looking those forever words, I got an old Bible that's got so much writing in it, and it's got commandments other than the commandments written in there. Because I'd start hearing those powerful words and I'd write 11th commandment, 12th commandment, 13th commandment. Why? Because I wanted them to be forever in me. Now I come to you in the name of the Lord. No, Jerusalem, you're the ones that have been killing my prophets and stoning those who I send to you. How often I wanted to gather your children together as hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. I want to change that. This is for me. This is talking to me. I'm the one that's not willing. You need to say, I'm the one. There you go. See? You know what that means? That means here's the evidence. You have desolation in areas of your life. And I want to take care of that. For I say to you, you shall not see me, eliminate that desolation, till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. What I've given you tonight is a word from the Lord. You need to start looking for that man of God that's got that word for you, that comes in the name of the Lord. You need to call him blessed. You need to call the word blessed. And you need to call yourself blessed for being in the way of the word. I got hit. Woo-hoo. I'm not wounded. I am empowered. I heard a little goofy saying one time. It's a good saying. I'm so full of the Spirit of God, the power of God, that when a mosquito bites me, he flies away singing, there's power in the blood. Is that you? If you don't feel like that's you, then you say, that's me anyway. The Bible tells you to call those things that aren't as if they already are. Are you willing? Then just obey the rules. I didn't think there were any rules. Oh yeah, there's some rules. There are. They're not mean, they're not bad, they're not harsh. They're easy, because that's what God said. Easy and light of what I give, what I put on you. Let's don't make it hard. Y'all stand with me. Praise the Lord. Now, did you use those questions on me? I gave you some questions. I mean, some standards. Did you check them off? Say, this is a coup or this is the truth? All right. I've always told you, I'm going to tell you again, when I get it with truth, I'm not taking it alone. I'm giving it to you. I'm going to try to hit you with what I got hit with. I believe that's right. I believe that's the way it should work. You want a dry sermon? Hear one with no experience. Praise the Lord. Hearts, minds clear tonight? Nobody's saying, I need help. Right? I don't want my house to be desolate. I don't want yours to be desolate. Let's get willing. Father, we have given you this time. We've given you this energy, both sides of this, the listeners, the speaker. We've given you our energy. We've called your word blessed. We've called the man of the hour blessed. We've called what you're going to do from this point forward with it blessed. Jerusalem is being changed. It's going to begin to look like Jerusalem instead of like a destroyed city. We receive that into your people, into this body, and into your kingdom tonight. We are empowered. We are changed forever. And we say that in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says, amen. Amen. Be blessed.